At this time, what I want to do is not take up any more time. I want to bring up Daniel Benitez. He's a son of the house. I remember the day that he came into House of Manna on a soaking night with his hoodie and his hoodie on, with his head down just like that. It was dark, sitting in the very last row. And the Lord grabbed a hold of him at that moment, spoke to him about destiny, spoke to him of who he is and what God had in store for him. And it's great to see, and it's an honor to see you moving in the things of God. And it's my honor to invite you up and minister the word to your house, sir. Come on, Dan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory. You're worthy, Daddy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy.
Is it on? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we watching the Spurs play? They've been losing. See, what Pastor said was true. When I first walked into the house, I sat way in the back. But it's because a hallelujah wasn't loud enough in my heart. Hallelujah. 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 Now we got to be happy for what God's doing in this very time. See, I didn't have a word for the house. He asked me, "You have something for the house?" I said, "No, I just have something in my heart." But as I came up, I heard the word, the Lord say, talk to him about transformation. About the house. It's changing. It's going from something that was, from where we're going. See, the Apostle Paul says, I'm leaving those things behind me, and I'm looking for the things that are ahead of me. Hallelujah. House of Manna, are you hearing me? See, God has transformation over this house. He's taking you from a place into a different place. He's taking you into from one thing into another thing. He's taking you from a dry place into a place of milk and honey. Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. 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 See, I've been experiencing things in my life where I see God move. See, our tomorrow is not promised. See, I preached last week a word in a little restaurant. My grandmother invited me to go see her. And I wasn't planning on it. And I said, okay, I'm going to go. I bought my ticket. It was super expensive. El Paso to Dallas is almost $700. So I went. My grandma said, well, maybe you don't want to go preach at that church because it's not really a church. It's a restaurant. I'm like, okay, grandma, if you're going there, I'll go with you. No problem, you know. But the thing about this restaurant is that there was a people that were had been sowing seed. There was no one under 50 in that place. There was about 30 of my grandma's friends praising and worshiping God louder and stronger than I've seen some of these young people worship God. Amen. And I said, Grandma, this is before I went, I said, Grandma, I know if you're there, I know God's there. And if God's there, I'm going to be there. It was powerful. It was anointed. They started singing this old hymn. And it suddenly began to change the atmosphere. People that had arthritis and achy bodies were jumping and praising God. And this one woman had a son who walked in. See, they serve food at this place. Let me tell you, very poor. I was in the ghetto, in the barrio. They serve food, And you can eat for free if you eat it there while you're listening to the word. How are they surviving? How do they do this? How do they give just free food? But by the providence of God. This one woman, they speak Spanish, so yes, I know Spanish and I could speak Spanish, but preaching in Spanish and preaching with my fire, kinda hard. So I had to ask somebody, and I saw some woman in the back, and I said, can you please translate? She said, yes. So she began to translate, and as I began to preach, the anointing and glory fell. And little beknownst to me, there was a man in the back. And I gave an altar call. And I said, those of you who don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, please come up. And this man came up. And he gave his life to Christ. And I was so happy for him. And I was so excited. And this man, the tears in his eyes, and I could just feel his heart of everything that he has been through. And for him to come up and to give his life to Christ, I'm talking about tattooed, you know. And he came to me, and I prayed with him. And I know it was by the Holy Spirit, because it wasn't anything that I said that was special. You understand? The Bible's been preached for thousands of years. And I'm sure his mom was telling him, mijo, you know, this and that. But he came up. And he gave his life to Christ. And 3 days later, a car hit him and he died. It puts things in perspective on where you're sitting right now. See, when I come up to preach the word, I give it with all my heart. That one man's life, it's something. His mom called my grandmother and said, I'm so happy that he gave his life when he did, not knowing that 3 days later he would be gone. My grandmother called me. She called me like 10 times when I was at work. I was like, why is she calling me? Maybe she hit me an auto dial or something. I don't know. And when she told me that, it just completely changed everything. The way I see things. Life changing. This is why the word of God is so powerful. So when I come up and I say hallelujah, and when we're sitting in our chairs, but we can get up and cheer for the Spurs, or if somebody gave you $1 million, how would you be? Oh my God. You'd be different. But see, this word is more valuable than the silver and gold in this realm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This word is life changing. This word is destiny setting. Hallelujah. It says the power of death and life are in the tongue. It's what you speak out. The man came and he gave his life to Christ. It set his destiny. It opened something for him for later. Money doesn't do that. Gold doesn't do that. Silver, accolades, titles, brand new cars. None of that. But this word is worth more than anything. So when I come to preach, I told Christ, I said, Lord, you died for me. You suffered for me. You gave all. So why can't I give all? Why can't I do things in excellence when I'm preaching your word? Why can't I deliver what you told me to do? Why can't I do the things? It's little things. It's little things. One little thing can change your life. One word can change your life. One word can open a door. One door can bring healing. Healing. See, you don't need a man of God to lay hands on you. Oh, my God. You don't need someone. Woo. You don't need someone to come and tell you where you're going, what you're doing. Yes, prophetic is powerful when it's the rhema. But I hear so many feel-good prophets nowadays. I said, don't prophesy for me. I know God's with me. Hallelujah. I know He's a lamp upon my feet. I know that when I read my word, it sets my destiny. Amen. Hallelujah. My God. I had a whole, see, I was telling Pastor, I left my Bible at home. For the last, I don't know how many years, I've carried the same Bible to the gym, to work, on my plane, wherever I fly, everywhere. I never let that Bible leave my side. And as I came down this weekend, because I preached in Austin yesterday, I left my Bible. I said, Lord, what are you doing? Say, you're going to trust me? Say, my word's already in you. Pastor's like, what are you going to preach? Say, I don't know. I have a word. But I know it's for this house. There's going to be some minds. See, God wants to do things, but we think God can only operate in a certain way, that we eliminate miracle things that God wants to do in your life. See, you guys, God has invested miracles in your life. But see, the thing about a miracle is that it's not a miracle for God. It's not a miracle for God. It's something simple for Him. And He does it just because. This house is going somewhere. Transformation. See, leaving the old and going into the new. And I just don't want to preach that, but it's already starting to happen. You guys know. That's why it's stringing a cord here in this house. Transformation. Hallelujah. The ministry is morphing. And it's becoming defined. Before it was general. Now it's almost like I see in the spirit God tuning this ministry. No more to the left a little bit, no more to the right a little bit, but it's starting to go forward. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow, Lord. Jesus. I brought this Bible up here. And it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my sister Jessica. When I touched it, God said, I'm going to save her. I know some of you have family members that are kind of walking along the fence. But God's about to bring them in. Because what God's doing right now, the harvest, everybody keeps talking about this harvest, this supernatural harvest. And I'm actually seeing it. I'm seeing the lost become saved. And that's what this gospel's about. It's about preaching Jesus and His goodness and His mercy. And so I said, you know what, Lord, I have, by faith, I'm bringing this Bible to the altar. And I'm placing it right here because my sister's going to be saved. Amen. Now we can get ready for my word. Amen. I need somebody to help me. Lionel, please. Do you have your Bible? Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 through 5. No, 1 through 4.
Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Mm-hmm. That you live and multiply. Mm-hmm. And go in. Mm-hmm. And possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers.
Hold it right there. Mama. Words for you. What God promised you, you're going to see fulfilled in your life. Not just for one generation, but many generations. I know that's speaking to you. Go ahead, Lionel. Jesus.
I receive that because I'm part of the generational.
Amen.
Thing,
so. That's why you're standing right here, Lionel.
That's why I get to borrow a car or something.
I'm pulling you somewhere, Lionel.
I get to. Get to, okay. And you shall remember that the Lord, your God, led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Mm-hmm. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna.
What?
Fed you with manna.
Okay.
Which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man. Mm-hmm. That man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord.
Right there. Amen. Thank you, Lionel. Hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Amen. So there's a dynamic here. That God was trying to teach his children when they were wandering. See, if you read later in the verse, it says that their clothes never ran out. That it kind of grew with them. Can you imagine wearing the same shoes 40 years and every day they grow with you? Kids grow. He's speaking to a generation that was passing away and a generation that was coming up. Amen. He was speaking to a people that for some reason couldn't comprehend the power of God and where he was taking them, right? So he had to teach them something. They had to go through some things. There was a place in their life where they didn't understand. See, he fed them with something supernatural. See, God is supernatural. It says their clothes wouldn't get messed up. And also, he was feeding them. He said he was feeding them manna. What is it? There's a joke in the church I used to go to. It's like the house of what is it? Amen. But he fed them supernaturally. And today's standards, it would be a miracle that if we woke up in the morning and just what we needed was there already. See, but God doesn't take away miracles. See, that's where we miss it. See, that still happens today. It's only better now. See, in the old covenant, right, Moses, we had sin commandments, which we still have the same commandments, right? But now we have Jesus. Amen. Ah. See, we still get manna. He still provides. It's just said differently. What's your favorite verse? He shall provide. Didn't he just say the manna was there every morning? Exactly what they needed. Not enough for tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. It's what we're doing right now is we're going to dictate where we're going to. Ah, my God. The manna, supernatural provision, exactly what they needed. Every family was different. Some had 5. Some had 20. Some had 2. But each one had exactly what they needed. They didn't understand it. They couldn't understand it. See, he was trying to teach them something before he took them to their place. He was trying to embed in their hearts who he was. And they could not comprehend who the Lord was. He wanted to take them somewhere. They were promised. They had promise. They had destiny. He spoke to them. He said, I'm taking you. I'm delivering you from the Egyptians. And I'm taking you into a land filled with milk and honey. But they could not comprehend who God was in his fullness. It came from a walk. Should have took 11 days. See, God likes numbers. And I know this house likes numbers. 40, right? There were 40. Generation. Passed away. Man, this house is going somewhere, because it's in my spirit that you guys are going somewhere. It's like the old things had to get passed away. See, only 2 went into the promise, Caleb and Joshua. Ah, 2 generations represented. Someone with a Joshua spirit and a Caleb spirit said, no matter what's on the other side, we trust and believe in God, hallelujah, that we can go over there and take on any opposition that's ahead of us. Says they got sent to spy out the land. He said 10 came back with a different report, negative. Negative people. Negative words. Negative mindsets. Negativity. Said God didn't want that. He said he wanted a people that believed. People that had faith. That no matter what they saw with their physical eyes, that God was still God on the throne and he could deliver them. Hallelujah. From anything that came against them. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on in your life, God is a God that will deliver you from that situation. My God. See, they were going into a land of uncertainty. They didn't know how it was going to be over there. They've never experienced it. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand being free. They didn't understand walking in freedom. They didn't understand exceedingly abundantly above that we could ever ask or think. They didn't understand that. So it held them back. See, God wants to push this house somewhere. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He's always battling the mind. Says the mind is an enmity against God. Because we always try to think our way out of situations instead of trusting in God and walking forward that He's going to provide that next step. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we got to learn to walk on water just as Peter did. He said, Lord, bid me to walk where you are. And he said that as Peter got out of the boat, he began to walk. And as he began to walk, hallelujah, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. But the second, he said, as he began to notice the waves. See, waves are something, right? You never know where the wave's going to move. Or if it's going to hit you when you go to the water, you always wait for it. Sometimes you jump too early. Sometimes you jump too late and it hits you. See, but Peter was walking on this supernatural ability to walk on your situation. Supernatural ability to walk on your circumstance. Supernatural ability to walk in your healing. Supernatural ability to walk your deliverance out. Supernatural ability to walk above every problem and circumstance in your life right now. Every supernatural power to walk against the lie of the enemy. Supernatural power to walk against what your neighbor and your other so-and-so said about you. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is still alive and that Jesus is still above every power, every principality, every spirit of darkness in your life right now. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. See, my grandmother's 80 years old. She told me a story. She said, son, one night, she couldn't walk. She was walking using a walker. She couldn't walk. She started gaining weight, overweight. And one night, she said she turned the TV on. And she saw a televangelist that she hated. She said it. I don't know what it was. I just didn't like him. But as I began to hear him preach, she said, I got faith. Faith comes by what? And hearing the what? The word. Hearing the word of God. She said, she turned around. She said, Lord, I believe your word. Heal my legs. Simple prayer, she said. She fell asleep and woke up the next day walking without pain. She doesn't use a walker anymore. She lost 40 pounds. She took me out to eat with her friends. She's like, we're taking you out to eat after you preach. They were taking selfies, laughing, out of control. I'm like, Grandma, you told me your friend was the wild one. I think you're the wild one, Grandma. The most precious thing in my life, I see my grandmother, 80 years old, enjoying her last years, walking supernaturally by a miracle and the power of God in her life. No more pain in her body. I used to go and pray every time I went. I went a couple times to my grandmother's and we prayed for her. She didn't get healed. But my grandma prayed by herself. By herself. She got healed. See, it's not until the Word of God comes alive inside your body. See, it needs to penetrate that heart of hearts. and needs to come alive. See, I used to preach, but it wasn't until the Word of God became alive to me that it took me to the next level. Because I used to try to study and read everything. Oh, I gotta say this first and then this and this and this. Now I'm up here without a Bible preaching because the Word's inside of me. And everywhere I go, I take the Word. It doesn't have to be with the Bible that I carry the Word. And I carry God inside of me. Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. It says the Bible says that me and my Father will take habitation in you. Because everything's combined in the Holy Ghost, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The acting power of God in our life today. See, God used to manifest himself in one by a prophet or a man of God. We see it, we read it in the Bible. But now it's here for everybody. We all should be prophesying. All of us. Revelation, the Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. If you have Jesus, then you can prophesy. If you have Jesus, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Cast out demons. Raise the dead. Hallelujah. Cleanse the lepers. Hallelujah. See, that's what you're called to do in this very hour. Is it, but because our mindsets, we think, oh, well, we can't do it, that something disqualifies you. Let me tell you something. Sin doesn't disqualify you because Christ already qualified you. Hallelujah. It's crazy. The enemy will put things in your head. Oh, you're not worthy. Oh, you can't do it because you said that last week about that person. No, it don't matter. Once you give your life to Christ, you become a new creature. It means you switch sides. That's what he's trying to say. He said you're not in the side of darkness anymore. You're in the side of the light. Because Jesus is light. In the book of Genesis, he said, let there be light. By what? His word. By his word, he said, let there be light. And there was light. That was before he created the stars. That was before he created the sun. That was before he created any of that. There was the light. Ha. John 1 says, in the beginning was the... And the word was... When God becomes alive inside of you, you begin to walk supernaturally. You begin to walk in authority. You begin to walk in a supernatural dimension that with other people, it won't make sense. But because God's inside of you, you're not limited to the things of this earth. Hallelujah. You're not limited anymore. Jesus was an example, a foreshadow of how we should be walking. He said, these works you shall do and greater. Ah, because I'm going where? To my Father. That was his guarantee. He said, these works, greater. Because he's inside of you. It's up to us to grasp that concept. It's up to us to let the word become alive inside of you. But it takes desire. You gotta seek it out. You gotta seek that word out. You gotta keep knocking. You gotta keep seeking. You gotta keep doing those things. You gotta keep pressing. See, just because it doesn't happen the first time doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just says you got to keep going. You can't give up. No matter what they tell you, no matter what they said about you, no matter what the doctors say, you got to keep pressing. You got to keep doing. You got to keep believing. You got, oh my God, you got to keep praising. See, the thing about praise, There's this part, scripture, or the scripture says different ways. It says that God inhabits the praise of his people. That's supernatural. That means that God's taking a seat in your praise. That means he's taking time out of what he's doing to come and listen to your praise. Amen? It's a supernatural interaction between your speaking out and God's coming and listening to what you're saying. The power of praise. And it's not always by music. Praise is different. Different levels of praise. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's meditation. Sometimes it's a tear. It's in tears. It's an exchange where heaven comes down, the Lord Almighty, and he listens to your praise. He listens for the word. See, God works in the power of his word. He works in his word. If you don't speak, he ain't gonna move. He's waiting for you to cry out. See, he could just save everybody, right? We all came to church. Why didn't he save us? But it's not until we confess the name of Jesus, the word, that we become saved. We believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth that Jesus died for my sins and he rose again. That you're saved. See, the power of God is present in his word. You activate that supernatural dimension in his word. His promises remain true. His promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Not one good thing will he withhold from them. Amen. Whatever you pray for and you believe, that's his promise. That's what you walk in. That's what you're, supernaturally, that's what you're destined to do. We gotta break those old mindsets. We gotta break those things, those limitations that we place on ourselves, Frank, quite true. Yes, the enemy uses those surroundings to dictate, to make you think things. But I know in this house we understand things about the spirit. We know that the things in the spirit are more real than the things in the physical. We know that things are released in the spirit and they manifest themselves in the physical different ways. Hallelujah. You know those prayers, those seeds that we pour out from our hearts, tears, prayers. You know those things, release things in the spirit and they happen supernaturally. See me, I'm a living testimony of those seeds. I'm a living testimony of people's prayers for my life. I was a drunkard, womanizer, party boy, whatever. I was a good person, so I thought. I'm always made everybody happy. But I wasn't living right. Far from the truth. Far from the truth. So many times, I could have lost my life. But by the grace of God, he kept me. That's why when that man lost his life this past week, it meant something to me. It echoed something so deep inside of me. That it changed me. See, revelation is incremental. That as you learn one thing, you're ready for the next thing. As you learn that thing, you can go into the next place. As Joshua and Caleb learned, it said they had a different spirit, that they were able to go into their promise, into their destiny. Amen. House of Manna, as you've learned at this level, all the bumps and bruises that you've been experiencing in this house, it's only preparation for that next level where you're going. Amen. See, you can't go to those places unless you walk that walk out. You gotta walk it out. You gotta walk out those tears. You gotta walk out those times you fall and scrape your knee. You gotta walk those times out where you feel you're so alone and no one understands your circumstance or your situation. You gotta walk those things out and you gotta proclaim the word of God in your life. Cause every promise is yes and amen. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And it's not until the word comes alive inside of you that those barriers begin to fall. That everything that used to trip you will no longer trip you anymore. Hallelujah. What the enemy used to use against you, it's only taking me higher. Hallelujah. I said, okay, devil, this week was hard, but you know what? I'm going to preach my heart out today. It's my turn to hit you back. Hallelujah. I'm here to proclaim something. I'm here to speak the word of God. I know what God says for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I say hallelujah, I really mean hallelujah. Most of you know me here. I did a cartwheel one day in the front of the house during service. Because my pastor was teaching me, you got to just step out in faith. And when you hear God, you got to just listen. And I had to do a cartwheel. But it was my blessing. It led to my breakthrough. Hallelujah. When you walk in obedience to the word, things open up for you. No matter what they look like to other people, let me tell you, the blessing that's coming on the other side is for you. Your blessing, hallelujah, is exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ever ask or think. Hallelujah. It says the blessings will overtake you. Hallelujah. I'm walking out this blessing from my cartwheel. I'm walking out this blessing from my cartwheel. I did it. Now I'm challenging you today. What is God calling you to do? Hallelujah. What is God has put in your heart? The simple little thing to do that looks crazy to other people. See, the house of manna may not fit in with other churches in this area, but God didn't call this house to be like every other house. Hallelujah. God didn't call this house to be a cookie fitter place where you just go and worship, pay, prophetic word comes out. Yeah, so what? Not this house. This house is different. God was preparing the soil for this house. He was preparing this place for such a time as this. Hallelujah. A spiritual hub. Hallelujah. Where streams are just coming out. Streams of life. Life. And not death. Hallelujah. Life comes out of this house. Not death. Hallelujah. See, cookie fitter. Happy prophetic words. Hallelujah. They'll kill you. Come on. They will kill you. They keep telling you things are going to be okay when they're not. You're cut bleeding out. See, the word of God is a double-edged sword. Ah. Cuts. It's two dimensions though. Cuts and it heals. It cuts and it heals. Hallelujah. It cuts and it heals. Psalm 107 verse 17. I said, and God sent his word to heal and deliver. Hallelujah. When you're going through deliverance, it ain't always pretty. But you're healed. It means you're ready for whatever God has for you. See, some of the words of God are strong. It pierces the heart, causing you to change. I'm changing every single day. I look in the mirror and I see something else. Not saying that I'm not anointed. Not saying I don't love God, but God's just helping me and showing me things how I can be better. Because that's what this walk is about. It's about growing and changing every single day. Because I'm not promised tomorrow. I can just deal with what I have today. And that's all I will see. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has power in itself. Tomorrow has its own, God set power over tomorrow to worry about that tomorrow. But today, you have to worry about where you're at today. Hallelujah. Where you are with God. Where you are in your walk. What is the devil lying to you about today? Hallelujah. I'm here to break those mindsets. I'm here to change and transform minds. Hallelujah. To tell you that God, it says that he holds his name or his word higher than his name. His word higher than his name. His word. Transformation. Word. Foundational truth. Planting. Strength. Foundation. Hallelujah. Word. Hallelujah. Things are built upon his word. Hallelujah. Things are built upon the word of God. Hallelujah. He is the foundation. He is a chief cornerstone. Without that truth and that foundation, you cannot grow. Hallelujah. Ah, Jesus. Formation. Structure. 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 The way it's getting laid out. Something different. Hallelujah. The Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is life transforming. Without the Word of God, we are nothing. It's by His Word, creation. By His Word, He said, let us make man in our image. Our image. Something profound. He didn't say, let us make man in a slave image. He didn't say, let us make man in something substandard. He didn't say, let us make man so that he suffers. He didn't say, let us make man so that he's always... No. He said, let us make man in our image. Our image. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Triune. Power. Anointing. Authority. See, it brings, oh my God, it gives God pleasure to see you succeed. It brings God pleasure to see you working and manifesting in power, dominion. See, he used to bring the things to Adam. If you read in Genesis, he used to bring the things to Adam. Name this. Oh, cool. That's awesome. What about this? He used to bring the things to Adam so that Adam can put a name on it. Hallelujah. Walking in dominion. He said, oh my God, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, have dominion upon the earth. Hallelujah. Supernatural. It means we're at the head and not at the tail. Hallelujah. We are above and not beneath. See, Moses was preaching this. Hallelujah. If you do these things, you shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall be the lender, not the borrower. Hallelujah. Oh my, you shall be the lender. And it didn't say the borrow. It didn't say go to the, ask all these people for money. No. It said you shall be the lender. That means in the financial industry that we are on top. Wow. Speaking prophetically. Not the world controlling the financial system. But the church being the authority in the financial system. Hallelujah. Ah, Jesus, feel the anointing, feel the presence. Says the enemy should come at you one way, but flee seven different ways. Seven. I mean separation. Says you have the authority to send this thing out. Not every battle is our battle. It didn't say that man did something. It said the enemy is going to try to come at you one way, but he's going to have to go back seven different ways. It's because of the anointing. See, the anointing is going to be worth more than the money. Those that are walking anointed, they're going to be sought after. In these coming days, you see it already. But it's not for us to harbor it. It's to give it out. It's not just for one person. It's for all the people of God. Ah. If you read in the book of Jeremiah, it says, not one person will be preaching to his brother who God is. It says, everybody from the greatest to the least shall know. It's a dimension there. It said we're all anointed. We're all appointed. All moving in what God called us to do. Hallelujah. I feel something so great for this house. Last verse. John 1:14. Says, and the Word became flesh. Think about it. The Word, there was something spoken. By the mouth of God, that became flesh, carne. No longer spirit, but flesh. The Word of God has the power to make things manifest. The Word of God has the power and ability to make things happen in your life. The Word of God has the power to bring things in your life. The Word of God is something so special. You've seen that movie, The Book of Eli, with, what is it, Denzel Washington. Crazy movie, blind man. You don't know he's blind until the end. He's carrying a Bible. It's written in Braille. That everybody's after because they know it's transforming. They know it's power. That even the enemy wants to get the Word of God. Hallelujah. See, the enemy mimics everything that God set into place. He uses God's principle against his own people. He tries to use the Word against the Word. Wow. Profound. He tries to use the word against the word when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. But it's not the whole word. See, it was a reality. Yes, Jesus was hungry. That was real. It was real that he was hungry. It was real that he had necessity and a need in his life. That was real. It was real that he had a problem and a circumstance. That he was feeling hungered. Can you imagine going 40 days? I know we do fast in this house. But can you imagine going 40 days without anything? Can you imagine how Jesus was? I know if I would have been at that point, if somebody said, turn those rocks, I would have said, turn into bread, please, because where's my steak? Where's my tacos? Where's my rice? But he didn't. He said, it is written that man shall not live on bread alone. Trying to tell us something about this word. It's something more real that we could understand. It's something more real the Word of God. Man can't live on bread alone, but by the word of God. I'm here to tell you today that this word is everlasting. I'm here to tell you today that this word is life-changing. I'm here to tell you today that this word is powerful. That this word that we have written on these pages, on our Bibles, is Jesus. Every word in that page is Jesus. Every word on that page is alive. Every word on that page gives life, my God. I know all of us go through things. And we're facing different circumstances, different struggles, different situations. But what I do know is what the answer is. Bible says, in the beginning, before your problem, before your situation, before your sickness, your pain, your lost one, your loved one, before that thing that rose up against you, it said, in the beginning, hallelujah. In the beginning, see, before your sickness was the word of God. Before your problem was the word of God. Before your situation was the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm here to encourage you. Ah. Eesh. Pastor. I love you, Pastor. Pastor Inez. I love you. These two people. And I hear by the Spirit saying, great man of God. great man of God. Is that by the seed you plant, even though you don't see the fruit, the things you've done for other people, God has a place when all this is going to tie together and it's going to come around and you'll be able to look back and see every seed that you planted, even though you don't see it right now. You're going to look back and you're going to see everything. Even the little things, even people that have left, you planted good seed. Good seed. Good seed. See, there's two dimensions. When the man of God would pray in the Old Testament, he would speak to the heaven and he would speak to the ground. The heaven would open and the ground would manifest. It's power, ability. And I just see that for you, Pastor. Me was a seed that you planted. I would not come up to preach to save my life. Failed speech class 3 times. And now I'm traveling preaching the gospel. And I preach this word. Because I know the power and the reality of this life. See, we're in this life for only a short amount of time. And it's what we do today that makes a difference in eternity. Amen. It's a seed, the word of God that you plant today sets the destiny, not only for yourself, but for someone else. See, God called you to open doors for people. He said, I am the key of David. The door that I open, none shall shut. And the door that I shut, none shall open. See, God, Jesus in you is the door, is the key of David that opens the door for other people. See, you're here to be a blessing for somebody else. You're not here to worry about yourself tomorrow, but you're here today to worry about somebody else. See, you are the only light in someone's life. You don't know what someone else is going through. There was many times I was in this church, and Pastor knows this, jobless. Sometimes I didn't eat because I was following after God. But most people in the church didn't know. Homeless. Sleeping on my mom's couch. Thank you, Mom. But it's by the word, the seed, the light that was in Pastor Marty and Pastor Inez, Mama Lou, Popo. It gave me life. It was the light that you guys carried. The seed that you guys planted. The prayers my mom used to pray. The prayers of my grandmother. Hallelujah. See, they weren't praying for themselves. My sister too, yes. See, they weren't praying for themselves. They're praying for me. So you gotta just know in your mind and in your heart who you are. That you have every ability to walk upon the waters. Don't worry about yourself, but pray for others. See, Job, oh my God, Job didn't pray for himself, but he prayed for his brothers. And God changed his life and gave him double portion. Amen. Can everybody just stand up, please? could have kept preaching. Sorry. I just want to do a quick prayer. And before I get into praying for everybody, I want to ask every eye closed, every head bowed, if there's anybody that has not given their life to Christ, just raise your hand. You don't have to come up. If you want to come up, you can. Now's your time. Now's your day. If you want to come up, I'll pray a 20-second prayer with you. And it opens the door into your destiny. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, forgive us. We have sinned and we have missed the mark. But Lord, forgive me. Forgive us. Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to change me. Help me. Lord, I believe that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe that you came and you died for my sins, everything. And that because I give my life to you this day, everything is washed by your blood. The price you paid on the cross, you died and you rose again on the third day. And now you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I thank you that I make you today my Lord and my King. I thank you that today I'm a new person. I thank you that today you touch my heart and you're with me until eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray now that this word come alive inside of you. That it be something supernatural, almost tangible every single day of your life. Every day I experience something new in Christ. And I want you to have that same experience. I want you to have that same walk. The walk that Peter had as he was walking on water, knowing that every problem is at his feet. Every sickness, every disease is at his feet. Every problem, every heartache is at your feet. Because he has something new for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that today is a special day in this house. I thank you that today is a miracle day, Lord. I thank you that today is a day of manifest presence. That is a supernatural demarcation in the spirit. That we're leaving everything in the past behind us. And that we are moving forward into our destiny. That we're moving forward into our healing. That we're moving forward into forgiveness. That we're moving forward into healing families and relationships. That we're here to healing, Lord. Receiving our healing. Our deliverance. Our blessing. Our increase. Our multiplication. Lord, that is your covenant. Those of the seed of Abraham. In blessing, I will bless. In multiply, I will multiply. Father, I speak this blessing over your people. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this very hour. Transforming mind. Changing hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. And every God's child says amen. Amen, amen, amen. Wow.